Hey Kenya, when God forgives us, does he really forget our sins?
I mean, that's a really great question. But what about when in the Bible it says to pray without ceasing? Does that mean to pray over and over and over again for the same thing?
I don't know, but I think I'm looking for these answers to these questions and more of the questions that have been sent in. So I'm Ruben Covarrubias.
And I'm Kenya Reyes. Bible Help Desk starts now. Welcome to Bible Help Desk. Ruben, it feels so good to be back here and to know that we're going to jump right into the Bible and get some answers to the questions that have been sent in, right?
Absolutely right, Kenya. And just a reminder to everyone watching, you can still call in with your questions and leave us a voicemail. You can either text us, put a question on Facebook, Instagram, or on our website, hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk. If possible, leave us an email so we can contact you back.
With
So
us
who are our
today,
guests
we
today?
have, with us today, we have Pastor Andrea Jacobsons. And I know that all of us are very familiar with Pastor Jacobsons. We've had her here many times before, but this is the first time that we will be introducing her as former young adult pastor at Spencerville Church, because she will soon be leaving Maryland to go to Ohio to serve as lead pastor of the Kettering Church. We're so happy for you, Pastor Jacobsons. Are you excited?
Thank you. Yes, I am excited. I'm also a little nervous
Well, I
because it's
think that's
going to be
perfectly
something new.
normal.
But yes, thank you for
Yes.
having me.
Oh, thank you so much for coming back.
Absolutely. And Kenya, we also have someone new joining us, Dr. Martin Hanna. We're so excited when we have a new face with us. He is the Associate Professor of Systematic Theology at the seminary at Andrews University. And I'm told, Dr. Hanna, that you are currently a project leader for something very exciting, which is entitled Facilitating Science and the Theology Dialogue. It's so good to have you here.
It's good to be with you, Ruben.
Thank you so much.
Now, before we jump into all of these questions that you have sent in, I would love to share a Bible verse with you today. And this Bible verse can be found in Hebrews 4:16. And it says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." How about right now we approach this kingdom, this throne of grace, so that we can speak with our God? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your blessings, Lord. We thank you for your love, for your mercy, and for the wonderful grace that you have bestowed upon us, Lord. We come to you knowing that you hear us, Lord, and knowing that you are ready to bless us in many ways, Lord. And right now we ask for you to give us the help that we need in these trying times, to let us know that you are with us, let us feel your presence. And that today, as we answer these questions and dive deep into your word, we may be able to remember you and how great you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Well, Kenya, we have some great questions lined up and I'm ready to dive in. So I'm gonna go with this first question that came to us via text from Patty. And the question reads, "The Bible says pray without ceasing, but if I pray for something once and I know God had heard me and he will answer according to his will, why should I keep praying for the same thing?" You know, this is a great question. Pastor Jacobson's, what can we say to Patty who, for I know for myself, sometimes I've wondered that too, you know, but does pray without ceasing mean all day? How does that work?
Yes, great question, Patty. So the verse that this is found in is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it starts with, it really starts with verse 16, where it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And so the context here is rejoice always, as in do this all the time. The same way, pray without ceasing, as in pray all the time. And the way I think of it is a conversation with God throughout the day. Because there's nothing too big or too little that I cannot talk to him about. You know, and so it's just this encouragement of where Paul is saying, spend the time in prayer and talking to God. But then there is a second part of that question, which is about, okay, if I pray for something, do I need to pray for it all the time? Or does God just hear me the first time? Yes, he hears me the first time. He always hears us. But I think of the story in, I believe it's in 2 Kings, where it's the story of Elijah, where he goes, where he's up on the mountain, and it's just right after the showdown between God and the prophets of Baal, and God sends down fire on the sacrifice. And right afterwards, he sends out one of his servants to go see if the rain is coming, because God had told him the rain is coming. But he kneels down and prays, and he sends out the servant and says, go see if the rain is coming. And the servant comes back and the rain is not coming. There is nothing even anywhere close to any rain coming. And so then he keeps praying, and he's sending the servant out to go see whether the rain is coming. And for 7 times the servant goes out and the rain has not come. And so that just makes me realize that there are times when, even though God has said, this is what I have for you, this is what I'm promising is going to happen, I still need to take the time to pray. And most importantly, because prayer is about it changing me. Prayer changes me, and I realize God's will is in all of this, and it helps me to see things from his perspective. But it's also about perseverance, and the more I pray, the more I really want it. You know, I'm showing that this is what I want. And so one of the things I pray for all the time is the Holy Spirit, because I know I need the Holy Spirit. And so every day it's something I pray for all the time.
Wow, I really like that, Pastor Jacobson, that about perseverance and that perspective. That's so important. I never thought about it that way. And Dr. Hanno, was there anything else we could add to this question from our friend Patty?
Well, I'd just like to affirm the points that Andrea made so wonderfully, and that is that prayer has two sides to it. On the one hand, we tell God the things that we desire. You know, Jesus told us that we can ask him for the things that we desire. But prayer is much more than just a laundry list of things that you beg God to do for you. Prayer is about fellowship with God, as Andrea pointed out. And in that sense, it's very clear that we can pray without ceasing, because we always want to be in touch with God, in communion with him. I'm reminded of the model prayer that Jesus himself gave to us in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. He said, in this manner, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then notice verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. So if I prayed for bread yesterday, do I need to pray for bread again today? Yeah. Jesus encourages us to pray for bread every day, because it gives us an opportunity to stay in touch with God. We must remember, though, that God does not act simply because of how loud we pray or how frequently we ask him to do things. The repetition is more a matter of our own self-discipline, so that by praying, we come into harmony with God's will. I'm reminded of what Jesus said when he was praying. He said to his Father, not my will, but your will be done. So prayer is not just about getting what we want. It's about being changed, as Pastor Andrea said, so that we line up better with the will of God.
Amen. Amen. That's so powerful.
I was just thinking of, you know, sometimes it could be a manipulation on our part, you know, that we want to pray over and over because it's like we kind of want to manipulate God to give us what we want. But I love what Dr. Hanno was saying. That's not what it's about. It's about a strengthening of a relationship between me and God, not about me getting my way.
Yeah, that's so powerful.
There's another Bible story that is helpful in this regard. The story of Balaam in Numbers chapter 22. He asked God for permission to do something, and God said no. And of course, he wanted to do it anyhow, so he kept asking. And then God said, all right, you can go and do it. But on the way to accomplish the thing that he had prayed for, there was an angel who was trying to kill him. So when God allowed him to have his own way, it turned out that it wasn't a good thing after all. So we must always be willing to change the way we think about something while we're praying.
Yeah, there seems with this that prayer is just something that's just changing us. It's not a one-stop thing and waiting. It's constantly changing us, and I can really resonate with that. Thank you so much for those answers. This was so great. Kenya, what else do we have?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we were just talking about praying and about also asking for forgiveness right now when Dr. Hannah just mentioned the Lord's Prayer. And we do have a question that came in talking about forgiveness. And it comes in via text from Jeffrey, and it reads, "When God say, I, even I am, he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sin no more, does that mean after we have repented and given our lives over to Jesus and living a life that is pleasing to God, God will not bring up our sins at the day of judgment?" I think that's an excellent question to think about. Now, Dr. Hannah, what answer can we give Jeffrey?
Yeah, this is a very important question, because the Bible says that we will all come before the judgment seat of God. And so what happens when we get in front of the judgment of God? There is an interesting story told about Martin Luther, who had a dream about being in the judgment. And the devil was there too. And the devil had a long list of all the sins of Martin Luther. And as he read down the sins, he said to the Lord, "You can't save Martin. He is too wicked." And then Luther in his dream said to the Lord, "Tell him to take his hand off the bottom of the list." And when the devil moved his hand from the bottom of the list, there was written, "Covered by the blood of Jesus Christ." So when Jesus blots out our sins, it's not about so much changing the records that are in heaven as much as it's about recording in heaven that the blood of Jesus has canceled our sins, has forgiven our sins. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." So we don't have to be afraid of entering into the judgment if we have faith in Jesus, because his blood covers our sins and cancels out our sins. It's not as if God has forgotten that we are sinners, but because of the blood of Jesus, because of the plan of salvation, God looks at us as if we had never sinned. And that's a wonderful good news, isn't it?
I definitely think it is. I think we can all breathe a little lighter knowing that we are covered by his grace for forgiveness. Thank you so much, Dr. Hannah. Pastor Jacobson, is there anything that you would like to add to this question?
Well, the verse I'm thinking of is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I like to mention this one a lot because it's one of my favorites, where it says chapter 2, verse 19, and it just says, "The Lord knows those who are his." And I love that phrase, because when we belong to him, like Dr. Hannah was saying about Romans 8, there is no condemnation to those who belong to God, because he knows those who belong to him. We have chosen during our lifetime, and this judgment that's going on in heaven when our names are being brought up, you know, the majority of us have died by the time our names are brought up, except for the last generation that still be on earth before second coming. And so their names will be brought up at that time. But the rest of us, we have died. We have made our choice. And so God doesn't have to just pull out some kind of record and just show, okay, well, this is what she did. This is what Andrea did on this day. And this is what she did on this day. Because that's not necessary. All he needs to say is, "She is mine. I have given my life for her, and she has chosen to live for me." And that is all that is needed. And I believe that when those names are brought up and Jesus says that, "Hey, this is because of my blood that they are saved," the whole universe rejoices at that moment.
Amen. I thank you both for such beautiful answers. Just reminding us that the important thing here is that we have been given grace and we have forgiveness, and everyone can receive that once we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. So thank you both for your answers. Now, Ruben, what's our next question?
Well, Kenya, we're going to get to those questions right after the break. And before we go to break, I want to remind our viewers of our website, hopebiblestudy.org. This is a newly designed website where you can browse our various Bible studies and get involved in the various questions that we've been asking and dig a little deeper. So go ahead and check it out. And if you're in North America, give us a call and leave us your address, and we'll be happy to mail out those Bible studies to you. We'll be right back after this break.
Have you ever wondered if there was more to life? Do you have big questions with hard-to-find answers? The Discover Bible Guides are Hope Channel's free gift to you. These 26 beautifully illustrated guides cover major themes of the Bible and answer some of life's deepest questions. Visit hopebiblestudy.org or call 888-446-7388 and begin your journey to discovery today.
I'm Andre Hastick from the Bible Help Desk Program. Every week we open up the Word of God together here live. And there's one thing that I know, that when the Bible is open, lives are changed. Has your life been impacted by what we do here on this program? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at BibleHelpDesk@HopeTV.org. Or you can give us a call at 833-BibleHD. We'd love to feature your story soon.
Welcome back. Make sure you keep sending us your questions. Remember, you can text them to us. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail. You can also send in those questions via Facebook or Instagram or on our website, hopetv.org/Bible Help Desk. And joining us today to get to those questions and get you great answers, we have Pastor Andrea Jacobson and Dr. Martin Hanna. So Ruben, let's jump into those questions.
Absolutely. We got a question that came in via text from our friend Everlyn, and they ask, please explain this verse, that when the bridegroom came, he found all the 10 virgins sleeping. Does it mean there's a time when the whole church will be asleep? Pastor Jacobson, here's an interesting question from one of our friends here asking about this parable. Is this sleeping something that we can take literal and think that, does this mean that the whole church will be asleep?
Okay, so I would say no. And let me read the story first. So this is found in Matthew 25, or this parable starts out by saying, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And then the story continues where it says that at midnight, there is this cry that is heard that the bridegroom is coming. And then the virgins all wake up, it says, and now five of them realize, oh no, we don't have the oil. And so they ask the others to give them this oil. And the other ones say, well, if we give it to you, then we won't have anything. And yeah. So the other ones are sent off and they go away. And meanwhile, the bridegroom shows up. They come in and the doors are shut. And then in verse 11, it says, afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So we have to look at the hermeneutical principles of how to interpret parables. There have been people in the past who have said, you know, parables are like allegories where we just take every part and we assign a symbol to each one. But that is not what Jesus is doing when he interprets the parables for us and when he tells us what they mean, when he is explaining some of them to the disciples. He always says there is a main point to them. And the main point to this one is watch therefore, because you do not know when Jesus is coming. So you need to be ready for when Jesus is coming. And it's talking about this oil that the five have in their vessels. And in other passages in the Bible, we know that the oil represents the Holy Spirit. And so this is the virgin having the Holy Spirit in their lives. And the Holy Spirit is so important because when we respond to the Holy Spirit, we are saying yes to God. And then God can work in our lives and the Holy Spirit is transforming us. And that's when we're ready because we build a strong relationship with Jesus. And that's why in the end, where he says, well, I do not know you. Well, a person cannot know you if you haven't spent time with them, if you haven't really become friends with them, right? And so then you would say, okay, I don't know you. And so when Jesus is saying this, because they didn't take the time to really build that relationship with him. And so this parable, I mean, I love the question on this because it's so important. It's such an important parable for our lives because we each need to pay attention to where our relationship with Jesus is. And especially even during this time, COVID, you know, it's so easy to get sidetracked with everything else because there are so many pressures that are coming. But most importantly, Jesus says, watch. because what's most important in your life is me and that relationship with me.
Wow, that's so powerful. That relationship with Christ and how this parable points to that. And I truly appreciate you pointing out the hermeneutical principles. And Dr. Hannah, how can we help someone then who is a layperson, and when they read the scriptures and they read parables and they're trying to understand, you know, what can I take literal and what can I take as symbolism? How do we help these people?
Yes, I appreciate very much Pastor Andrea's point, which is that all the symbols, all the parts of the parable need to be subordinated to the main point of the parable. Mm. And so we shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that because the virgins fell asleep, then the whole church is going to be spiritually dead. That's not the point of the parable at all. The sleeping is subordinate to the main point, which is we must always be ready for the coming of Jesus at a time that we cannot predict. You know, it's just like when you're sleeping, you don't know exactly what's happening around you, but God knows and he's in control. And so the real Christian is not the one who knows exactly when Jesus is going to come. There's so many people trying to predict exactly when Jesus is going to come. But the true Christian is the one who is ready for Jesus to come every day. So if he comes today, we need to be ready. If he comes tomorrow, we need to be ready. Mm-hmm. Next year, same thing. Watch and be ready always. That's the main point of the parable.
Wow. Thanks. Always be ready. That's such a powerful point, because it almost points us to the previous question we had about praying without ceasing, inviting that Holy Spirit to be with us. Thank you so much for that. I truly appreciate those answers. Kenya, what else do we have?
Well, we have a question here that also touches on the significance of symbolism and taking something literal. And this question comes in via Facebook from our friend Milton in Jamaica. And it says, does the day for year principle mean that God created the world in 6,000 years? Dr. Hannah, I'm hoping that you can help us with this question. And can you please first explain what the day for year principle actually means?
Yes. This principle is communicated in two places in scripture that I'd like to mention at this time. In Numbers 14 and verse 34, we have this idea of a day for a year, where the children of Israel were allowed to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, but each year was represented by a day. And then in Ezekiel chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, we have the same idea. You shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have laid on you a day for each year. I don't think this applies, of course, to Genesis chapter 1, which refers to 6 days of creation, because then that would mean that the 6 days of creation would represent 6 years, one day for a year. Maybe the person who asked the question had in mind the words of the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, where he says, "Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." So we could call this the day for 1,000 year principle. But this does not apply to Genesis chapter 1 either. Genesis chapter 1 is not referring to creation in 6,000 years. In fact, the Bible says in Genesis 1 that the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day, and so on and so forth. And so what we have here in Genesis chapter 1 is God's creative activity during 6 days. Now, some people say, how could God create the whole universe in 6 days? Mm-hmm. Well, they forget that we are talking about God here. God is the creator. Yeah. He can do anything he wants. But secondly, the Bible doesn't teach us that all of God's creative activities are limited to these 6 days. God may have created the universe prior to the 6 days. Hmm. And then during the 6 days, he made this planet habitable for human life, prepared the way for the creation of Adam and Eve on the sixth day, and rested the seventh day. So this creation story in Genesis chapter 1 is describing God's creative activity during 6 literal days.
Hmm. Great.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Dr. Hanna. I love how you really went into detail about all these different principles that we can find in the Word of God and the proof that we can find that God did indeed create the earth in 6 days. Mm. Pastor Jacobson, is there anything that you would like to add to that answer?
Yes. What I would like to add is Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4, which I believe is a really important verse when it comes to just looking at Genesis and the creation story. And then in verse 4, it says, "This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens." And the key word there is the word history, or at least that's the way it's translated in my Bible version, the New King James. But in some others, you will see the literal word is toldot, which means generation. So you might see that word. Sometimes it may say some other things. But the point is that the generations or genealogies show, show history, because it always says, okay, this person begot this person gave birth to this person, and it just keeps going in chronology. And so it would be very strange for us to look at this history that's going on all through the book of Genesis and then just say, okay, well, we can pull out the first chapter and just say, well, it's not history. Okay. It's totally different. Mm-hmm. But that's why it's so important that it is written here. No, this is history, just like all the rest of it is. And there are lots of genealogies in throughout the book of Genesis. And none of us would say, okay, well, they don't record history. And so it's very important to look at this and say that, no, we would be very inconsistent if we took it out and just said, now we're doing something very different with just the, you know, the creation story.
Definitely. It's almost like taking something out of its context, right? I think I really appreciate the fact that both answers that you have given us today are straight from the Word of God, are straight taking things into the context, are about being able to understand what God is trying to tell us through His Word. And I know that today what we've learned is that we have to pray faithfully and that we also have to take God's Word in faith. So thank you both for those answers.
Absolutely, Kenya. This has been a great episode where we've been able to dive in, as you mentioned, just into the various aspects of the Word. And I've learned so much. I hope our guests and our viewers have learned much from our guest panelists. And on that note, I want to thank them for being here with us. Dr. Hanna and Dr. Jacobson, thank you so much for your insightful answers and for creating a great environment where we can dive into the Word. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you,
Brian. It's been a privilege being with you.
And we also want to thank our viewers for watching and sending in such great questions that really take us to learn more about God and more about His Word. Remember that you can still call us and leave us a voicemail with more questions. You can also text us or send in your questions via Facebook or Instagram. You can also go to our website, hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk, and we'll make sure to get to those answers and give you answers straight from the Word of God. So until next time.
Thank you for being with us. Take care.